God is so good. I was pretty excited when I found out it was my turn to do Easter Sunday. It's been several years since I've been able to do that, and this is really what the gospel is about. You know, it's Jesus going to the cross, and so it's an easy sermon to do. I didn't have to struggle at all today, and I spent some time with the Lord and preparing for today. And we're going to actually go back and look at starting Thursday night before Good Friday, just to see what Jesus did for us. You know, it is all about His love for us. It's if God hadn't loved us enough to send His only Son, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ would not die but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's what the gospel is, and that's really what the Easter, what we celebrate Easter for. And it's just a time to remember what Jesus did for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I thank You for Your love. Thank You, Father, for just undeserved, for that pardon that You gave us, Lord, that we didn't deserve at all, for Your grace. Hallelujah. Father, we just say this morning that we love You, and we thank You for all You did. In Jesus' name, amen. So I actually want to, as I said, I want to start at Thursday night. So if you all remember, Jesus spent the night, He spent all of Thursday night in prayer. He was with His disciples, and we're going to be in John most of the time today, but I want to go to Mark chapter 14, if you want to turn there with me, to begin today. So, Jesus had just had the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, with His disciples, and Thursday evening, and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so they're here in the garden. In verse 32, it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with Him, and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," He said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, He fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from Him. "Abba, Father," He said, or "Daddy, Daddy. Everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." Then He returned to His disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, He said to Peter, "Are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more He went away and prayed the same thing, and when He came back, He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to Him. Returning the third time, He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes My betrayer." So Jesus spent hours in prayer, probably from sundown until 3 or 4 in the morning when Judas came to betray Him. So he spent the night with the Father. He didn't want to have to go through the agony of all that He did. I'm not going to go into the description of what all happened to Jesus before he went to the cross or while he was on the cross, but all he went through was because of his love for us. He died that we could have life, and so it's awesome that they came. And I actually, so I told you we were going to be in John most of the time, but I think it was the, let's go to John for the arrest. Let's just turn over there most of the time, and then we'll be in John the rest of the day today. It's kind of cool how the four Gospels correspond so well, and yet some of them left parts out that the others put in, and so I was able to just to gain little nuggets here and there that made a difference. But for the arrest, I went to John 18 because it really describes the hour that it was. It was still dark, probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I reckon. Because it was still dark, it says they came with torches and to light up the way and stuff. So John 18, beginning verse 1, says, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples. So he knew what was happening. He knew that it wasn't going to be possible for him to go past this. He had to go through it. He had to die for us, and he knew that. So he's going ahead with what's happening here. So when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples, crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with them, with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. So because they were carrying torches and lanterns, I knew it was still dark. I knew it was early morning, on Friday morning. And so this is just how it took place on that Friday. Jesus, knowing all that it was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. And again he asked them, "Who is it that you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." And this happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those that you gave me." And that is from John 6:39. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So this Jesus was arrested here and taken before Annas. Annas was the chief priest at that time, I believe. Okay, Annas says the first, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that he would be good if one man died for the people. So this was where he started with his interrogation and all that he had to go through. And so we're going to go now to where he was before Pilate, talking to him, and we're in John chapter 18 before Pilate. And let's look at verses 28 through 40. So this is probably around 6 in the morning. Took him a couple of hours to get there from the garden. So the Jewish time and our time is different. Their time starts with, like, the first hour is at 6 o'clock in the morning. So your day starts at 6 and then goes on around. So it says, then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. We have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed him over to me, who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion, so they were looking for a way to accuse and accuse Jesus of wrongdoing, even though he had done nothing wrong. They made false accusations, and eventually, as you know, he was sentenced to be crucified. So, in chapter 19, verse 16, he was handed over to be crucified. It says there in verse 16, finally Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So this was after the argument that Pilate had with the people and with himself. He was trying to get Jesus off the hook, and they didn't want him off the hook. They wanted him to be crucified. And so that's what took place there. So the crucifixion then was around 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning. They took him out. Well, let's just look at back in Mark 15:25, I got a little note here that says it was the third hour. So that's how I knew it was 9 o'clock, because it started at 6 o'clock was the first hour, and then so 9 o'clock is now the third hour. And so at 9 a.m. they took him to be crucified. And let's just start at verse 17 of chapter 19. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two soldiers, one on his on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom, and let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. And this happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So imagine, if you would, for a minute, Jesus' mother having to stand there by the cross. All of you mothers know how she felt. Her son, Jesus was her son. Mary stood there by the cross wondering what's going on. Because she, you know, you all remember the stories how she, when Jesus did something that was kind of unheard of for a child of his age, says she pondered these things in her heart. She wondered, what kind of a child am I raising here? And so imagine Mary standing there by the cross, looking up at her son, wondering, how is he going to do this? How is he going to do this? So, let's see, 17. There we go. Verse 26 now. I'm still there in 19. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So John took Mary, Jesus' mother, home with him to take care of her and to help her through the struggle there. So then the death of Jesus comes there on in the last part of John chapter 19. And I actually want to go back to Mark chapter 15 to read this part of it. Mark was just a little bit more descriptive and has a little bit more written down. Here we go. Starting at verse 33. Mark 15. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. So from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it became dark. It was total darkness for 3 hours. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. So there was a crowd there that saw when Jesus died, when he passed on. And it was a dramatic thing because the temple curtain was torn in two when Jesus died. And that is what gives us access to the Father. That's what gave them access to the Father. So the priest was the only one allowed in the temple. He was the only one, or in the inner part of the temple, in the Holy of Holies. The temple or the curtain separated that, and that temple curtain was torn so that it gave us all access to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Up to that time, they could not access God without going to the high priest. And it was a sin for them to try to do that even. So this gave us access and gave everyone access to God through Jesus Christ. So that's what makes the significance about that. So we're going to actually be talking about the empty tomb today. I titled the message today, The Empty Tomb. Normally I don't have anything to put in the bulletin. And when Julie texted me, I knew what the title was going to be. I just didn't have everything corresponding yet. So let's go back to John chapter 20 and begin there in verse 1 of chapter 20. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled from the entrance. And you can see here that Julie rolled the stone away, has it opened up for us there today. The tomb's empty, and it's always going to be empty. So they came. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw, and he believed. He still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So what a glorious find they found that day when they went to the tomb and it was empty. Mary Magdalene went there expecting to find that he was still there. But she found the tomb empty, and the angels, two angels there with sitting there with the empty tomb. So let's see. Verse 1 there, so early on the first day of the week. So that's why we celebrate, and that's why we have our Sabbath or our day with Jesus as Sunday morning, as Sunday, because it was early the first day of the week that Jesus conquered death, that he rose from the dead. And so I just wanted to share that that's the reason that we do it on the first day of the week. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 5, says, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just like he said.'" So Jesus is risen. That's why we celebrate Easter. I went back, so Patsy and I have some of the old daily guideposts. This one was from 2005. And I found a story in here that I want to just share with you this morning. It's just a little account. It has for a Bible verse, Zechariah 4:6. It says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." On Sunday at church, the children's lesson was an overview of the life of Jesus. As a response, I asked the children to paint or draw a scene from his life. From Jesus' life. Most of the drawings were straightforward and easy to decipher, but Ethan's drawing left me puzzled. In brown colored pencil, he'd drawn the open tomb. But instead of Jesus, a beefy man in blue jeans stood there flexing his muscles. "Can you tell me about your picture?" I asked Ethan. Oh, sure, he said, pointing to the man in blue jeans. This is Jesus coming out of the tomb. He won. Then I remembered that in the lesson, I'd said that when Jesus came out of the tomb, he'd won a victory over our greatest enemy, death. To Ethan's 7-year-old eyes, how else would Jesus conquer than by brute force? What Ethan will learn in time, and what I need to remember in my own struggles, is the strongest muscle of all is love. It was love, made perfect in weakness on the cross, that defeated death and brought Jesus out of the tomb a winner. It was his love for us that sent him to the cross, that willingly he went to the cross to die for us. So Ethan had a pretty good handle on it. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the power of the gospel. So there's just lots of power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is a way for us to conquer death. Because Jesus conquered death when he came out of the tomb, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have access to the Father for life eternal. So that's why we celebrate Easter every year on this day. We actually celebrate it every Sunday as we come together. We take the bread and the cup with Jesus every Sunday together. So it's just been a part of our lives for years, and we'll continue to do that probably as long as I'm in leadership here, and probably on through after that even. So I thank you all for coming today. They're going to come for a final song. If any of you need prayer this morning, we'll be here to pray with you. Matt and Jesse and I will be here. If any of you have never received Jesus as Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, we always give opportunity for you to be saved, to be able to walk with Jesus for life. And so if any of you have not done that and you'd like to, I just come and we'll help you with that process as well. But please, if you have prayer needs, we'd love to pray with you as we sing this final song.